Whenever you're ready.
When have I ever been ready? Let's just do it.
Okay.
And now it's time for another episode of The Lowdown with its host, David Beach. You can write David at lowdowndavid@gmail.com or follow along at thelowdownpodcast.blogspot.com. And now, here's your host, David Beach.
And so we begin another episode of The Lowdown with me, your host, David Beach, and engineer Wally. The Lowdown, short and tall, we cover it all here from our palatial studios in lovely Pasadena, found on the very gracious site, NOSAOnline.com. You can subscribe through iTunes. You can also follow along on thelowdownpodcast.blogspot.com. You can email me at lowdowndavid@gmail.com, and I invite you to. And here's something new and exciting, facebook.com/thelowdownpodcast. We have a vanity page. You can also see me on Twitter at TheDavidBeach, and you can see me on Facebook as well as facebook.com/sonofabeach. But first, and most importantly, go to Facebook and join the Lowdown Podcast fan page at /thelowdownpodcast. Throughout my career, I've had the opportunity to meet some really fascinating and fun people, and luckily, they still like me, which is unusual. So I have stayed in touch with many of them. And this interview I'm about to have and actually have had and now about to play is with a good friend of mine, George the Giant. And I think he still considers me a good friend. I'm still trying to figure out why the quality on some of these phone interviews isn't working well or what I need to do to improve it. Lord knows I spend a lot of time editing and trying to clean it up. This is an interview with my friend George.
George, are you there?
Yeah.
See how easy that is? We've started. So, I don't know if you're familiar with the podcast, but it's a podcast that deals with everything from short to tall. And it's, and basically, you're my first tall person that I've talked to, and you go by, if you may tell my audience,
George the Giant.
Yes. And where can they find you, first of all, if there was somebody out there looking to hire George the Giant?
You know, you can find me almost anywhere. You can find me on georgethegiant.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Facebook as George the Giant. You can find me on MySpace, George the Giant. You could even find me on Twitter.
Yes.
At George the Giant.
So that is just at George the Giant, and then they can follow you on Twitter and find out more about what you're doing. You perform all the time. You are a professional performer.
Yes, I'm a professional freak.
Okay, now a lot of people get offended by that word. I'm assuming then, since you just said you were a freak, that you're not offended by that term.
Okay, think about it. When you're my size, by the way, if you haven't figured it out, I'm 7'3".
Yes.
When you're my size, you have two choices. Play basketball or be a freak. And I really hate sports, so freak was it.
And when did you start doing the freak stuff?
That's a really tricky question because I fell in love with it when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And during that time, I'd already been doing magic, and I've been doing some escapes and everything else, learning how to get out of straitjackets and everything. But when I was 21, an incident occurred in my life that made me have a fear of fire. And so to overcome my fear of fire, I learned fire eating. And while doing that, I started finding more research on the subject I loved and started learning glass walking, bed of nails, and all the other stuff.
Hmm. Okay, so since you go by the term the freak, if somebody came up to you, one of the things we talk about a lot on our podcast is simple words that upset people or things that kind of put them down. And I'm sure that, you know, there was a period of time when you kind of went, I'm taller than a lot of people. Did people try to make fun of you for your height when you were growing up?
Definitely. There's a joke that I always say is you're getting on my, you're going to hurt my one nerve. And my statement is because during high school they destroyed the rest. When I was a kid, I mean, I was bigger than most. It's not like you wake up and go, hey, I'm a freak. No, I was slowly getting tall. I was taller than, after I was 8 years old, I was taller than any of my teachers.
Wow.
And so you kind of know you're big at that point. and people would make comments, and people would call me a giant, and I would be offended. And that's one reason why I took on the moniker George the Giant, because I figured if you make it your own, you have power over it.
Exactly.
And so I became George the Giant. I mean, I worked with a little person or dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather call him a dwarf because that's what he was.
Okay.
To me, a little person, to me, worse than calling someone a dwarf or a midget, because you're saying they're not even a real person.
See, now, midget is one of those terms that we've discussed in the past. And, you know, if people are offended, I've always stood by the fact that if I know you're going to be offended by this term, I won't use it. But, and midget isn't a term I would throw around anyway, but it was a term that was used frequently, especially in freak shows.
Yeah.
And your point about saying little person is not as polite as...
I'm more offended by the term little person than I am a midget or dwarf, because I think you're saying the person isn't even a real person. They're little. And I've had this discussion with different short-statured individuals.
Well played.
And some of them are members of the Little Peoples of America and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And when I was talking to them, they were like, you know, thinking about it, you are right. It is demeaning.
And that's just, I mean, it is just words, first and foremost. But everybody has their own thing. And as I said, you're the first tall person I've interviewed on the show. Is giant pretty much the only term you get? Are there other terms that I'm not familiar with? I mean, big person, perhaps?
Well, I see, that's the thing. It's like when I worked the movie Tough Luck,
uh-huh,
with Amanda Sante, I worked with a little person, and we were talking, and he was so offended that I was calling myself George the Giant. Because he's like, I can't believe you would let people call you that. And I was like, why? He goes, well, I wouldn't want to be called a dwarf. And I said, but you are a dwarf. I said, you have the short arms and the regular torso. And he says, yeah. And I go, what's wrong with being called what you are? I go, if you're going to be offended by it, that's your own problem. And to me, it's words. And once you realize that words really can't, I mean, as George Carlin said, words can't hurt you. If you let the meaning hurt you, that's really your own fault.
Yes. And go ahead.
I'm a big believer that, you know, as long as you know what you are inside and how you are as a person, what they call you doesn't really matter, as long as you're happy with yourself.
Do you think you grew up with that? Is that something that you've always had? And if so, do you know where it came from?
You know, I wish I could tell you yes. I wish I could tell you...
You could lie.
That's how I believe all my life.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, when you're a kid, those words do hurt. Being called stuff, being called fat, slouch. I mean, all that stuff really hurts you, and you're like, why am I so different? Why are people picking on me? And what had happened is I just finally got to a point when I went, you know, people are judging me not because of who I am inside or what I'm doing. It's because of my outer thing. And I kept going, but there's nothing I can do to change that.
Right.
And I'm like, I can change this. I can change the way I react to people's comments. And that was what I decided. And, I mean, when people come up to me and start making their comments like, you stole my height, why don't you play basketball, I'm not as likely to be offensive like I was when I was 12 and 17 years old. I mean, I have got there, and I'm not as young as I was. I'm turning 40 in a few days, and I finally realized, you know, when I was around 25, that if I let all these words hurt me, I was going to be a miserable person. And so that's kind of where I got in my life, where I realized that I had to make a decision. And I had that discussion with a friend of mine who goes by Mighty Mike. He's a dwarf.
Okay.
And I was talking to him, and I said, you know, you're going to hit a point where you're going to have to make a decision for yourself if you're going to let what people call you upset you, or don't worry about it because you know what you are and know how you are. And I said, and on top of that, if you're making money because of it, you have no right to get mad.
Good point.
And this guy has toured with Motley Crue. He's touring with Britney Spears as we speak. So I told him, you can't get mad for being called small. That you're making money off of it.
And good money.
Yeah, you're making good money, so you're a hypocrite if you get mad. So you better just accept it. And he goes, you know, you're right.
Now, you're a performer, and you've been a performer for quite some time. Do you think that the differences you dealt with kind of led you to the, hey, if I'm going to stick out, I'm also stick out big time?
Oh, yes. I would definitely say this was part of my career choice made for me. It was, I got to the point where, you know, if you're going to stare at me, I might as well get paid doing it.
Yeah. And so, therefore, also developed your sense of humor, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as I said, if you're going to be upset about it all the time, you're just not going to be a fun person to be around. And then you're going to be more miserable. So I decided to make jokes about it. I've decided to put it in my act. I've just decided to accept it because, you know, unless you accept it, you're just looking for a world of hurt.
Because nothing is going to change with you physically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to get shorter until I'm probably 60.
And then it's just kind of bending over more
yeah,
so than
then I'm just going to look like a question mark.
Because that's one of the things early on we talked about was the fact that many short-statured individuals are given the opportunity for bone lengthening and surgeries that and drugs that are questionable. I don't think I've ever heard of a height reduction system in any way.
No one's ever heard of a reduction. And I'm going to toss one other way that they've used to make little people taller. I met the person that they did it to, and that was they had him on stilts. They made fake legs, and they're basically like the painter's stilts. And he lived around 10 years that way. His parents made him use them, and a lot of people in the association hate him. And he's like, it's not my fault. It was because my mom made me do it.
And that just reinforces the fact that apparently there's something wrong with you. We have to change this.
Yeah, and that was, and he was the one that couldn't believe that I would go by the term giant.
Wow.
And I was like going, no, it's something I've accepted. And he goes, you know, you're better off than I was.
Okay, so say you're talking to yourself as a 17 or 20-year-old kid dealing with this. What would you tell you about how to deal with the situations that you went through?
Basically, I would tell myself, you know, yes, you're not going to be dating. You're going to be a miserable bastard. You'll find someone eventually.
Wow. See, now, as a short guy, I'm always looking at tall guys going, you get the pick of whatever woman you want because you're the taller guy.
No, because I was so tall, I was freakish. And so I couldn't, and because I ended up building a self, I was so self-conscious of what was going on, I was, every time I would talk to a girl, I was thinking I was being stared at. So it was very hard for me. So I was like, I never really dated, I think I dated 2 girls in high school.
Huh.
And then later on, and so it's like, you know, it wasn't until I made my decision finally that I dated a few different girls and then met my wife.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really didn't come to a happy position in my life until I was around 23.
But it's interesting because if you look back and go, I wonder how many people our age, regardless of their physical stature, was thinking they're looking at this or they're looking at that anyway, and it keeps them from dating just because everybody has their thing.
Well, yeah, everyone has, oh, no, my hair's weird.
Yeah.
An odd nose. But I had something that there was no way I could not
fit. True.
I'm sorry. I was a head to 2 heads taller than heads, and I went near, and I'm like, well, I was hitting, you have to realize, when I was around 16, I was 6'6", 6'7". I was hitting ceiling fans.
Wow. Wow.
On a regular basis. I mean, this is something that you can't really change. I mean,
you can't hide that.
Once you're 6'7", 6'8",
yeah,
you're hitting things.
Wow.
You can try to avoid it at all times, but you'll still whack it.
Now, there has been sort of a momentum in the area of you see lower phone booths, you see buttons on elevators that are lower. Is there anybody making progress for, I mean, higher doorways or anything that you would have to deal with?
No, they're making desks bigger for heavier set people. They're making doorways bigger for heavier set people for school so they can go to college and feel comfortable. But no, I had a desk that rode on my knees while I sat there so I could do work. They're doing it for everyone except for big people because we are such a minority.
Wow.
We don't count. I mean, think about it. Cars are being made to be more cost-efficient in gas and everything else, and they're making them smaller.
Do you have anything, do you have to do anything special? You can't. There's really no way you can extend room in a car.
Oh, yes, you can.
I take
the bolts out of the driver's seat, I re-drill holes and put them in. No one's going to sit behind me, but I can drive.
Wow.
And I've done that to almost every vehicle I've owned.
So that, I mean, that, here we are talking about how many issues we have to deal with as a short stature. I've worked with you. I come up to what? Your belt buckle, maybe?
You're a little bit higher up. Yeah, you're a little bit taller than that.
But I've never really even thought about the fact that you have to constantly, and the cars aren't getting any bigger because of the gas situation.
No, they're getting smaller.
Wow.
That's why I want to buy a Mini. And I'm just going to take the whole car. And then I'm just going to listen to music that whenever it's in a stop position, starts playing. So when the door opens, it goes, dun, 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 and I just start pulling myself out of the car. And
that's exactly how people should deal with that. I mean, it's a frustrating thing, but rather than just sit there and think the world is out to get you, you take advantage of it and you have fun with it.
Well, as I said, it took me a while to find out and to really, I mean, I met a few people that really helped me look at things differently. And to be honest, doing the sideshow world that I do, that really was a big help because, as I said, I started doing it when I was around 21.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got really accepted and knew where I was in my life when I was 23.
Okay.
So this career did help me make an acceptance because that's when I started working with little people, and I worked with some people that really knew where they were in life, and they were very happy with what they were.
And that comes from just accepting who you are.
Yeah. It's a big thing of, it sounds so cheesy when you say it.
Sorry.
Until you love yourself, no one else is going to love you.
There you go.
And that's the thing. Until you finally realize where you are in your life, what you want in life, and how where you fit, you're not going to. You have to accept it before anyone else is going to.
And there really is no shortcut for that. It's one of those things that sooner or later you just go, okay, here we are.
I mean, as I said, one person I know, they made this decision when they were 19.
Yeah.
I didn't do it until I was 23.
Wow.
I mean, you know, there's probably some people that finally accepted it when they were much younger. But I am a slow learner, as my wife will tell you. I still argue with her, and I've been married 11 years. So
congratulations on that.
Because I'm not the smartest guy in the world all the time.
But you've done very well with your career. I see movies with you in it quite frequently. And
Thank you. You're
doing great stuff. I mean, I've always, because I follow you on Twitter, and I see how much work you're doing. So, you know, that's the way to make it work. You just figure it out.
You met me right when I was really starting to do the upcline.
Oh, wow.
You met me when I was doing Universal, and that's when I was doing the street performing, and that helped me as a performer because when you're street performing, you have no choice but get better or get the heck out of Dodge.
You make no money whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you go there and don't make money, you have a choice. You're going to work on your act or you're just going to go home and not come back.
Well, I didn't realize that's when you started out. That makes sense now. Yeah, that was a while back.
I've been performing for maybe a year to 2 years, but I hadn't been doing street performing. A friend talked me into doing street performing.
Hmm.
And that's when I did it. And I really am glad I did do hardcore street performing because it did make me a better person and a better performer.
There's nothing like it. They cannot be compared to anything.
So, yeah, I keep wanting to go back to City Walk, but they don't like me.
Okay, we can stop there. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I want to go back to City Walk, but the thing is there's no place to perform anymore.
We
have two or three performers, and that's too much.
Yep.
There used to be a lot of little spaces. No, that's all I take at City Walk is they had an opportunity to keep the performers, which I think helped City Walk.
Right.
But they went for the quick buck, which was put more venues to sell stuff, more shops.
Yeah.
And to me, having the street performers gives them something no one else has, and so more people are going to come to those shops, and then you can charge more for the shops you have.
I will pass that on to the powers that be, and we will get it.
And they'll look at you like you're doing a card trick for a dog. Okay.
Well, it's been great talking to you, George. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to.
You know, I know I have a short attention span with you at times, but I'm glad you called me.
Well, thank you very much, and you have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was my interview with George the Giant, setting all sorts of new records. The tallest person I've talked to on the podcast, the longest podcast we've had, and the first podcast ever to take place on the Cylon base camp. I have no idea what the background noise was, but thank you for listening, and I promise I will try to improve my next phone interview. Have a great day.